dead. Dead.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Craft Beer is Dead. I'm one of your hosts, Chris Face, and then I'm sitting across this weird stainless table from
Bree, aka the pint-sized traveler.
I think it's pronounced Akka.
Oh, damn it. I've been saying it wrong this whole time.
I wanted to wait till you were in public to really call you out.
I always forget we're not supposed to curse within the first, like, 2 minutes or something, but that just went downhill pretty quick.
I mean, fuck the algorithms, right?
We already warned you guys on the first episode how this goes, so I don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, there's like a little explicit button, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know what to tell you. Sorry, kids. If you are listening, you've got weird parents.
And I want to be friends with them.
Yeah. Send them our way.
All right. So, today we are doing a spooky scary. Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so, I will run that one through, but first let's crack some ish open, shall we?
Yeah. So, what we are opening is a cool little collaboration between, well, I'm not opening, she is, and wearing half of it now. And this one is called, what was it, Radiant Energy?
Yes.
All right. Radiant Energy. And this was a collaboration from Ology out of Tallahassee and Weathered Souls or Withered Souls?
Woven Water.
Woven Water. Oh, yeah. Crap. My bad.
Well, I mean, you're not holding the can, so I won't hold it against you.
So this one was actually brewed at Ology. Obviously, it's a collaboration, but we'd love to try to throw some information about the brewery itself. But
you haven't been to Woven yet, right?
No, I need to get down there. I think that's in that new little area, like right around where like Hidden Springs, Magnanimous, and them are.
It's like less than 2 miles from Magnanimous.
Hell yeah.
And awesome.
Yeah, you guys went down there, right?
It's so gorgeous. It just hits all my points, you know? It's just like marble and plants. That's all I need.
Yeah, actually.
And I'm like, yeah, I fucking like this place. So, all right. So
tell me about that one. What do they got going on with the back of the can?
So pretty much it is a hazy IPA brewed with Vic's Secret, Wyatty?
Say that three times.
No. And Nelson. How do you say that? Do you
Nelson
know?
Seven? Or the Wyatty?
No, you fucking butthole. I know how to say Nelson. Wyatty?
I think it's Wyatty. Probably wrong too. But
I've never seen that before.
So those are mostly New Zealand and Australian hops. And Nelson's oven. I mean, you throw that in there. I mean, it's just gonna do well already. Vic's Secret's an amazing one. And then the Wyatty, I've never had by itself, so I can't really delve too much on the character of that one. But I can tell you that the three of them in this taste dope as fuck.
7%, and it's like milky smooth.
Oh yeah, silky smooth.
Oh, my God.
No, that's solid. Wow. Yeah, a little pininess, like papaya, kind of like almost a custardy thing in a good way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, actually. It does make sense, Chris.
Awesome.
It does.
All that training and school stuff actually paid off. Sweet shit.
Wow, that is outstanding. And, I mean, Tallahassee, that's about like 3 hours away from us, right? They're pretty up. No?
Tallahassee's like 5 hours.
Oh shit, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
That drive sucks.
Super far.
Well, it's like 3 to 5 depending on who you are and how fast you're willing to drive.
So about a 24-hour trip for me.
Yeah. So they are up there. They've got what looks like 3 locations, which sounds dope.
I had no idea.
No,
I thought it was just one.
Yeah, and I've seen them around at some like beer fest and stuff like that before. They're always great people. They do have a few things. Again, I apologize in advance. I don't know what their cores are. I know I like to mention cores of some bigger brands, but I can tell you that you can find a few different types of IPAs, sensory overload. I think this one is actually out in Distro in the Orlando area and definitely down in the Tampa area too. I've seen a few bottle shops down that way having it as well.
Probably GB's, I know, carries Ology very frequently. I think they're always have at least 3 or 4 of their cans in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they also do a killer job on sours, too. And looking through their website here, I did see a couple different like mixed fermentation barrel aged sours.
Mm.
So anybody doing that, I have a massive respect for because that's just fun shit.
Funky shit.
Funky. Shit.
That's awesome. Well, I'm a fan.
Yeah. Well done, guys. Can't wait to see what else we can find from them. And I'm going to drink this while you tell a story.
I know. It's like kind of a bummer that I have to talk and you get to sit back and drink that.
Yep. Oh, no.
I know.
Oh, the world we live in.
All right. Shall we?
Mm-hmm.
So sorry, I pulled some. Bastard. So I pulled some inspo from our last Spooky Scary, and you'll get why soon. Okay. Only I search for my home state of Pennsylvania.
I'm sorry.
I know. I think they're in about like 3 feet of snow right now.
Oh, man.
And we're in 84 degree weather.
Yeah, it's miserable outside right now.
Yeah, but do you know how satisfying it is to put that on like my Instagram story and stuff, knowing like how many of my friends and like people I do love still live there? It's very satisfying.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the year is 1974.
1974?
I won't talk like that. Harvey Miguel Robinson was born to, of course, a troubled family in Allentown, Pennsylvania. That sounds familiar. That's where I went to college and why I'm wearing this jersey.
Oh, that you can totally see right now, everyone.
Welcome to radio. There'll be a photo, but you can see me, you fuck.
I don't think we need to explain to Brie Face how this works.
Oh, my God. Already? That's how you want to start?
I'm sorry.
Two sentences in, Chris.
You're right. We are in 1974.
1974. His father, also named Harvey, was an alcoholic who used to beat and fight with Miguel's mother on a daily basis. And then, of course, he would turn his rage to Miguel when his mother would leave him there, run off, which he eventually did permanently. Mom of the year. Later on, his father actually murdered his mistress by beating her to death. And that's the last time we hear from him.
So did he, like, go to jail or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Thank God.
He stayed there forever.
That's a bold move.
Yeah. And remember that part.
Okay. Hard to forget.
Right. Even though Harvey came from a rough upbringing, he was still very studious and won several awards for his essays. He was also evidently pretty athletic and played sports as well. He sounds like smart and social, which sometimes you don't characterize, you know, serial killers as that. But, I mean, think of bullies. They're pretty social creatures, too. So it does kind of also makes sense.
Well, even like Ted Bundy was super social.
He's a social
well.
Guy, exactly.
Yeah. It wasn't necessarily like the fact that, you know, he went out of his way to talk to people because he cared. I think he just saw it more of like a
learning opportunity.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
if I practice
exactly.
this, I can get good at this and yeah. I can get people to trust me.
This guy's thing was he really enjoyed being feared, you know, so that was also, I think, why he, you know, also did sports and stuff because he could just kind of, you know, bully people and shit in that kind of way. So even though he seemed to excel at certain things like school and sports, he still turned to crime pretty young, committed burglaries, and did show signs of being a sociopath pretty early on. He had an inability to distinguish the difference from right and wrong, pretty typical. On the night of August 5th, 1995, Robinson broke into the home of 29-year-old Joan Burgart, with the intention of burglarizing it, but he only stole $50 from her dresser. 4 days later, her dead body was found lying on the living room floor after one of her neighbors called the police to complain about her stereo being on for 3 days. An autopsy revealed that Burgart had been raped and beaten to death. Robinson was only 17 years old at the time of the crime, or at the time of the murder. A year later, Robinson attacked a young girl named Charlotte Schrollmeyer, when she was delivering papers in the morning. He abducted her, took her to a wooded area, raped and stabbed her to death, also slashing her throat in the process.
God.
Yeah. Days later, Robinson broke into the home of John and Denise, same Callie, it's a weird last hyphenated name, and burglarized it, stealing John's gun collection and drinking their whiskey. 3 days later, Robinson broke into the home of yet another woman with the intention of raping and killing her. However, he saw the woman sleeping with her boyfriend, and he decided to kill her daughter instead. Robinson raped and strangled the child, but she managed to survive. It is believed that Robinson had stalked the mother for several days beforehand. She was actually, you know, the intended victim.
Mm-hmm.
So this is in a couple days. you know.
So he's going like berserker.
He's
on
going
this.
Crazy, just super fast. Either days later, Robinson returned to the same Callie house in the middle of the night, and the last name's Callie. It's not in Callie. Mm-hmm. Middle of the night, with the intention of killing Denise while John was away. He entered the house via an open window. Denise woke up to footsteps and saw him and attempted to escape. As she was running through the front yard, Robinson grabbed and pinned her down to the ground. When she bit his arm, Robertson also repeatedly punched her, cut her lip open, raped her, and tried to strangle her to death. Her screams alerted the neighbor, which prompted him to flee the house. When police arrived, they found a butcher knife wrapped in a napkin lying outside the bathroom door. A month later, Robinson raped and murdered a woman named Jessica Jean Fortney. She was beaten and stabbed to death, and her body was found lying on the living room with blood splattered all over the walls. 4 days later, Robinson returned to the Sam Callie home to finish the job.
Damn, so he keeps going back
to
this. He just
keeps going back to them in particular because you just have this weird sense of, like, unfinished business,
you
know?
She keeps, like, getting away, more yeah. or less.
So he attempted to break into the home to kill her but failed. The back door is equipped with an alarm. Realizing he would not stop until Denise was finally dead, the police department sent a young police officer named Brian Lewis to stay at the home in case he appeared again. One night, Robinson, now armed with a gun, returned to the home. Lewis heard his attempts at opening the locked door and watched as he broke inside through the window, which he left open on purpose. Lewis then identified himself as a police officer and told him to stop. Instead, Robertson pulled the gun and began shooting at Lewis, and he fired back, wounding Robinson. He escaped yet again, and a trail of blood was found. Hours after the police were searching the local hospitals, they were called when Robinson showed up to be treated for cuts and a gunshot wound. While trying to escape again, an officer appeared, pointing a gun at him. Robinson finally surrendered. His DNA, eyewitness accounts, physical evidence against him, Robinson was sentenced to 97 years on 3 death sentences. His lawyer somehow got 2 of the death sentences taken off the cat. Like, how that happens, I don't know.
See, that right there, like, and we can get into this later if it's taking up too much time or, like, ruining the flow of the story. Mm-hmm. But, like, the sheer fact that justice systems are willing to just tradesies. Like, it's not a clear-cut justice system yeah. at that point. It's not like, you do this, you get this.
Yep.
It's like a, you do this, and you totally say you did it, then we'll give you, like, a little less, and, like, maybe you'll get out, maybe you won't. I don't fucking care. I won't be there 20 years from now. Go yep. fucking do whatever
exactly.
you want.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially some of the older judges, I think, have that mentality, too, because
yeah.
what do they care? They're not going to be alive, you know? So after he was sentenced, while he was in prison, Robinson converted to Islam, but he is actually waiting death row still. Years later, comes out that he might be involved in the beating of a girl he knew in grade school. So in like 6th or 7th grade is actually when he started this stuff. So Robinson is known as one of the youngest serial killers in American history.
Yeah,
and
did he kill her?
Banned only 2 years. That girl back then,
yeah,
then?
When he was
no.
seven. So the
no.
first one when he
but
was
but still
17.
Yeah.
That's
so he's
still pretty young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what's her name was what, 16 when she, no, she was 18.
She was 17 through 18. 19. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So mm-hmm. it was pretty much the same age.
Man, I'm really glad they didn't meet. They make terrible, terrible little murder kids.
Honest to God. It's just crazy. That's what's just so crazy to me is how quickly, you know, 2 years can go by in this whole area. And like, if you've never been to Allentown or Lehigh, like, it's a really small, pretty small city, quote unquote city. Mm-hmm. You know, there is nothing to it. It's Amish country, you know, so these yeah. people must have just been terrified of this kid. You know, he's a kid.
Well, that's the thing, though, too, is, you know, sorry, growing up, it was probably one of those kind of things where, you know, he had a reputation for being a bully and probably athletic. That was the one thing I wrote down, too. There's nothing more terrifying than like a sociopath, like serial killer bully person that's like super athletic.
Yeah,
because
right?
like most people don't think about that aspect because sometimes, you know, obviously they'll attack with like weapons and mm-hmm. those kind of things. But the ones that can just overpower anybody, yeah. they just decide when you're not alive anymore.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Denise, he got her in the yard and yeah. held her down. And if she didn't, you know, bite him, then, you know, yeah. she would have been dead.
Have you ever heard of Carl Panzeram?
No.
Cool. Don't look him up. That's what I'm doing next. That guy is fucking
kind of remind
yeah.
you. Or?
I have a whole. Yep. I that. All right. Cool. Awesome. We got a new one for next time.
And that's really one of the only ones I've ever heard of being anywhere near my hometown or really like Pennsylvania. Like that really wasn't much of the epicenter of serial killers, you know? So the fact like Lehigh County is such a quiet ass town. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And then like, so a couple things that like freaked me out on that one. One, you talked about, you know, weird, like, sorry, not weird. I'm sure it's perfectly lovely little Amish town.
Wow, that's where you put the weird is talking about Amish.
Look, it's weird to me. It is. That's weird. All.
I grew up there and it's still weird.
Let's just look at the definition of weird. It doesn't make like them bad. It's odd. Just interesting to me. Yeah. That's all. So you've got that aspect, probably terrifying, you know, local townspeople and all that kind of stuff. And then it also reminds me, like we talked about on the last Spooky, too, with Richard Ramirez with the Night Stalker case, mm-hmm. how, like, why it was so terrifying is because of the fact it came out of nowhere. There was no MO.
Yeah.
And the guy literally just let himself into houses and then just went murder crazy.
Just zero pattern whatsoever. Yeah. That was a great document. I finally finished it.
Oh, my God. It was
so
good.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah. If you haven't actually checked that out and you got 4 hours of your life to kill, we all know you do.
Right.
Just go check out Night Stalker.
It's funny. I actually put it at the bottom of the notes, like bring up finishing Night Stalker at the bottom of this because you do need to watch it. And then, it is worth the hype.
That's kind of one of those things, too, to where we don't think about like what the cultural norms were at the time, too. So like I remember growing up, maybe not in the best neighborhood sometimes and stuff, so we locked our doors all the time just because, you know, houses got robbed, that kind of stuff. But then I also had a lot of friends who, you know, they just didn't lock car doors or front doors or windows. Like,
never did.
That's insane to me.
Never. We would go on vacation, and I can remember coming home and going right for the front door and be like, Mom, did you just leave the door unlocked for a week?
Yeah, that's insane. We did. Because that's the kind of thing to where, like, back then, it was like, you know, even in L.A., like in the Richard Ramirez one, like, people just didn't think about it. It was unfathomable that somebody would just walk in and do something like that to you. And so when it did start happening, everyone's like, well, oh my God, we're not gonna like lock our doors, but I mean that's crazy, right? So you just literally just kept walking in
to pretend like it isn't happening. And I'm not gonna go. I think that's what in the Night Stalker, one of the older victims, the older woman, that was her biggest fear in life was being murdered, but she also said she refused to lock her doors because she's not gonna be, you know, put in that situation in her own home. Like, how dare you say that? And then she was one of the victims.
I'm not going to wear a mask. I mean, I'm not going to lock my doors. No. Yeah, that's an interesting one, too. Is he, like, a weird-looking dude? Now, just out of curiosity.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was going to include a photo of him because he has those dead eyes. So his full name is Harvey Miguel Robinson, the Lehigh serial killer.
Robinson, American serial killer, born in 1974. If you didn't know, if you weren't paying attention, I did. I listened to something. Yeah, he's an interesting little dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got those, like, I don't know. Just look at the eyes, people. Just look at the eyes. That's all I got to say on
but
that.
It's kind of crazy because now you can see when eyes. He was in high school, though, like, he didn't look that peculiar. You know what I mean?
He does.
Do you
have
see
a bit
his
of
high
a, like,
school photo.
Yeah, a little bit. He's got like a bit of a derp face going on though. Yeah. Just like, oh, hello. Derp. I mean, I wouldn't say that to his face because he'd probably murder me.
Yeah, that's probably a safe bet. Well, I don't know. He never went after men. So isn't that also an interesting point where he was kind of such an asshole and thrived on people fearing him? But then all he did was see a boyfriend laying in bed with the woman, and that deterred him. So he went for the young daughter.
That's and like,
you know,
that's got to be super fucked up too. To where like, was there any evidence that they found out that he was doing that while they were in the other room at all or anything? Or
they were literally sleeping, and that's why he didn't kill her.
Yeah,
it's because the guy was in bed with her. The boyfriend was in bed.
Yep, it's usually
the same house.
Not to sound chauvinistic, but it's dogs and males that usually scare a lot of them off. So. Mm-hmm. If you don't have one, get one or the other. I don't know what to tell you. Like, apparently that's like a 50% success rate on staving off
serial. You're going to say that close to like Valentine's Day, like, you should get a man. Like, you're like.
I mean, look, Well, maybe don't, because that one actually beat that one chick to death.
I have plenty of lesbian friends.
No, that for sure.
Would definitely do more damage.
And I've met most of them. They all kick my ass.
You have.
Yeah. So maybe hang out with them instead. Like, invite them over for a movie night or something.
Yeah, but, you know, be weary, because they might turn into Netflix and chill.
Hey, everyone, it's fucking 2021. Do whatever you want, you know? Just don't beat your mistress to death and don't sneak into people's houses.
But also, like, that's not a coincidence. Like, the dad literally killed someone by beating them, and almost all of them were killed by being beaten to death. There was, like, one who died from her throat being slit. That's it.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because, like, you know, you'd like to think that there's always the argument of, like, nature versus nurture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's obviously a mixture of both. Mm-hmm. You know, not everyone who has bad parents grows up to be a serial killer, or else there would be no one around.
Yeah. And it sounds like he had a chance, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, it wasn't like a bad area. It wasn't like, he still had a good schooling. He's educated. He was going to go to college, you know?
You know, almost with you.
Yeah, if it was like 30 years before.
I don't know what kind of degree he's going for. Shit. You probably should have got something.
Well, actually, all this started literally the year I was born, so.
Oh.
93, I think it said. So.
Oh, all right. Well, glad you weren't around then at that time in that area.
Thanks.
Good thing you're not Amish. That's all I got to say. Well, shit. That was crazy. Yeah, anything else on him?
No, that's all I got. I will definitely, we'll include a photo of him and everything. You guys seem to really like that about the Christine Falling case, so that was cool. You guys seem to like seeing the photo of her, just not scrolling through your newsfeed. It needs to be like a photo of a beer first and then her, you know, or else it's like, ah.
Like, really freak people out.
You need to know what you're getting here. Yeah. So I understand you guys. I see you.
We'll turn it into like a beer sandwich of like a nice beer. Yeah. And then, oh my God, their face. And then,
honestly,
like, oh, thank God, another beer.
Yeah. And then Chris's face. Oh, and you're right back to it.
Oh, no. Mine was actually the second photo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I got for you.
Ba-na-ba-ba-na-ba.
Yep. So if you're ever in the area of Kutztown University, there might be a little memorial in that area. You never know.
Hey, I don't actually.
I don't either.
Alrighty, guys. Well, that was a fun one. On the next one, I am very now excited about doing Carl Panzeram. So don't look him up.
What a last name.
Oh man, I don't know if that's. I'm guessing that's French. Is it? No, it's not.
Whatever.
I don't know what the fuck it is. I'll find out, though. We'll all find out together. So thanks for listening. Huge shout out to, actually, a la carte for bringing in the Radiant Energy.
Yep.
Almost like an unofficial sponsor at this point, just because they're
honestly
super badass and always bring us beer and always take care of us. And I don't know why they do that. I mean, they're just good people.
I mean, I try to go there like twice a week just because it's my favorite place. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then they've got, if you are in the area, they got some really cool stuff lined up for St. Paddy's Day in March.
Yeah.
And then they've got their anniversary coming up in a few months as well. And they are doing a massive, awesome draft lineup kind of thing for that. So
awesome.
Yeah. And then again, thank you to Sticker Wolf, as always, for getting us sweet slappers and just being all around badass people.
And if you follow the link in our bio, you can buy some. All right, y'all.
I took a sip at the wrong time. Also, you know the drill. 5-star it or don't. But leave a review if you're listening and we suck. Let us know and we'll try to fix it. Yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Well, have a lovely, lovely day, everyone.
Or don't.
Or don't. Or do.
Or do.
Ugh, bye. Dead. Dead.